This episode of Spit and Chicklets is brought to you by Sauce Hockey. We all know that hockey's more a game. We've talked about it constantly. It's a culture. It's a way of life. Hockey is the best thing in the world. That's why we listen to this show and do it. Sauce Hockey is a full line of apparel that tells the hockey story from every level. Whether you're a savvy veteran that's been around the block or a local legend playing beer league, doesn't really matter. With the boys, Sauce Hockey has the threads for you. Sauce has the sickest lids around to make your hockey flow pop. I've never had flow. I wish I did. And they've even got you covered in the polo department. Their t-shirts are softer than puppy ears and feature fresh designs that will definitely help your off-ice plus minus. You'll even find barbecue set made of broken twigs and other accessories like their boxers and socks, which are also A+. To make matters even better, the beauties over at Sauce Hockey are giving us an exclusive 30% off with discount code CHICKLETS. You heard that right. 30% off. That is legit. Sauce also has the best t-shirt of the month club out there, which sends you an original design from a part of hockey history. For only $30 or less than a 24 pack of Molson beer, you can get a piece of hockey history delivered to your door. The club has featured storied barns all over the country: Bloomington, Minnesota, Yale, Grand Forks, North Dakota, and recently did a tribute to Herb Brooks, USA hockey legend, 1980. Represent. And oh, did you know one of the favorite reoccurring guests, Commie Mike Commodore, our boy, has partnered with Sauce Hockey in between getting in one constantly to produce his exclusive in one apparel featuring tarps, sweaters, and buckets, donating the legend himself. Make sure to head on over to saucehockey.com. Use the code CHICKLETS. That's saucehockey.com, code CHICKLETS.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 58.
Chris Letang.
Robert, you know, Robert Cron.
Frank, French Letang. Isn't that French for the pussy?
Letang. Letang is actually a savage out there. No. But I will say quickly, I'm 58 too, Jack Lambert, for Steelers fans, right?
Isn't oh, but the, it's only hockey guy.
Yeah, but yeah. Listen, but I think like that's why like Pittsburgh fans love Letang 58, because, you know, the old legendary linebacker or whatever. All I know is that my team had an amazing win in Pittsburgh last weekend.
Which one?
The New England Patriots.
Oh, fucking see, threw me off the football.
Huge. I know. I threw you off.
Huge win. What's up, producer Grinnelli?
Hello, gentlemen.
Episode 5-8. We have actually, this is a first.
What is up?
First for Spit and Chicklets. We're bringing on a team president and CEO today. Matt Caldwell of the Florida Panthers will be joining us shortly, which should be interesting.
Very interesting. Little Army man.
A little different perspective than we usually get. We still haven't had an actual active NHL goalie on. We're still working on that.
We haven't.
We've had Kevin Weeks on, you know, a good friend of the program, but he's been retired for years, as we know.
I wrote Luongo a direct message a couple times, but he just shriveled. Yeah. Made no response. So
maybe he's still scarred from 2011. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, I wasn't on the Bruins.
Yeah, I know, but I
never scored.
But I may have tripped once or twice.
But maybe he's Googled your writings of Luongo. That's a very true possibility.
But yeah.
No coaches either. We haven't had a coach on yet.
I don't want any coaches.
Yeah. Unless it's Terry.
This is a player friendly podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, we have. I don't even know if he's really shot. We'll get maybe an old coach on Sunday, perhaps Michel Therrien.
Yeah, I was actually thinking the other day if we ever had him on, that would be hilarious.
Yeah, so we'd love any goalies out
maybe
there listening.
Maybe we should get an owner on, like Eugene Melnick.
Yeah. Speaking of, dude. So, okay, now, NHL 100th anniversary was, it's been going on for a year, and it was culminating in Ottawa and Montreal. Did you know they were playing a game outdoor in downtown Ottawa last week?
I knew because I'm a worker at NHL Network,
right.
And it's my job.
It certainly wasn't. There's not a lot of
press, or like I didn't really know anything about. Now I guess two Canadian teams is probably huge in Canada, but you'd still think, you know, south of the border, you know, you'd let us in on a little secret of an outdoor game. I mean, it's the first one of the year. I think I'd be more excited for that one than I am Buffalo Rangers.
But it seems like, you know, every year, well, not every year they do the Winter Classic, but a few of the years they've done what they call it, the Heritage Classic in the years past.
Yes, yeah.
And then this 100th anniversary, but it's like we don't hear about it down here. It doesn't get anywhere near the promotion. Now, I'm not sure. I think it was on NHL Network, that game. I don't know if it was on NBC Sports Network, the Montreal.
I don't know. It might have been. It was like -7 degrees, too.
Yeah, it just seemed like there was like a total like dirt of promotion. There was nothing known about it. But anyways, as you said, Ottawa's owner, Eugene Melnyk, it's pretty sad when that's the story of the weekend, when he basically threatened... subtly threaten that the Senators probably might not be there for a while, and you got to think Erik Karlsson is good.
Oh yeah, he's gone. I would say he's gone.
I mean, when you got the team owner, you know, for
just
lack of
basically
a better
ripping into the fans.
Yeah,
that's pretty much what he did. He said, "You guys don't like him. You don't go to the games. So what?" Like he mentioned, like we're one of the biggest spenders in the league. We spend $68 million bucks, but people give a shit that we're cheap. What do you mean? He's like, that's crazy. Are you kidding me? Even at $68 million, that's way too much over a revenue base that we have. We can barely sell out Eastern Conference final games.
Right.
So I kind of understand all that. Now, the rink's in a shitty spot. Same with Phoenix. That's what we've talked about with like Glendale. It's too far from the city, but it's still amazing before the 100th anniversary game that the owner's threatening to leave. I mean, I think that all of this, like you said, just makes Karlsson look gone. I mean, like, he's going to want, I mean, well, you know, 11, 12 million a year. He deserves it.
Easily.
And he's going to get it. So, and he probably wants to try to really win. I mean, and so that going along with like what's going on there and moving and the team and how bad they've been this year, it's going to be really interesting to see kind of when he's gone. That's the question. Is it this summer? Is it during the season? You always feel like guys wait for the summer because they think they can really spend more time, you know, figuring out a trade,
right?
Getting as much as possible, but. I mean, just to see him in another uni is going to be exciting.
It's going to be.
This is, by the way, us just completely making this up. But
right. Well,
we're thinking about him in another uni.
I can't imagine a scenario in which he re-signs with the Ottawa Senators based on the comments of Melnyk, you know, the financial situation they have there. You know, they're a small market Canadian team. Connecting the dots here, man, I mean, it would seem. If they're not financially viable in that spot, it would be the easiest move ever to just go. From Ontario to Quebec, and they'd stay in the division. Everything would just like be perfect. Now I know fans don't want to hear that, but you know when you're team owner, I mean, I'd say he drew a line in the sand. Basically, like if we can't do this, like I said, we're not selling out third round playoff games. I mean, you know, this is going to the Stanley Cup Hockey Canada, and we're not selling out. So
shout out to Erik Karlsson too for his gender reveal. Good for him. He looked like Brian Boitano celebrating it. That was the figure skater, right? Like jumping around, he was like twirling. So he was fired up. That was good to see. Congrats.
I was just spit my fucking tea all over the place with the Brian Boitano. Yeah, that was.
Didn't think I was saying his name today.
Didn't know we were going to get that. Hit that in your bingo
special
square.
Christmas edition.
So actually, going back to Karlsson, you know, someone asked us, where do you think he'd go? It's way too early for that type of stuff. I mean, it's going to depend on need and value. But I did tweet out the other night, if Bobby Orr was in today's league, he would easily be a $15 million player, but he would only take 10 just to help the team.
Oh my God!
Right?
There it is. There it is. I love it. You know. We're big Bobby Orr people here. That's RA just getting his like junk it out. You haven't said anything about him in a while either.
It has been a while. Yeah. No. I thought. I mean, you know, we have fun with. I mean, all sports. You take with this guy in that generation, how he would.
I think he's the one. Like he's. You know, you've been over like people who's good now that would, you know, that wouldn't be good then, blah, blah, blah. He will forever be like the best. Like the skating was the best part about him. So you bring him in now, it's the same exact Bobby Orr.
Yeah. And it's funny because, you know, and the reason I thought of it was because last year when Karlsson in the playoffs on fucking one leg, I mean, I don't make that comparison really at all, but. I had to like, okay, he's reminded me a little bit of Bobby Orr with the performance he's doing, how he's changing the whole game. So
imagine how fun hockey would be if you could just skate around like Bobby Orr and kill a whole 2-minute penalty by yourself. Just wheeling around the net. I'd be talking shit, buzzing by guys. I'd be like, I can't catch me killing a whole power penalty right now. I mean, he's the best. I wish we need to somehow get Bobby Orr on here.
Yeah.
Like, I need to like write him a handwritten note. Bobby, please come on. This is your old friend, Ryan. We'd have to go to him, though.
You'd have
to leave the house.
The kids nowadays know how to do a handwritten letter.
I don't know. I was taught writing thank you notes growing up. I had to write a thank you note for everything.
It goes a long way, especially now more than ever.
Write thank you notes.
Speaking of thank you notes,
do it.
Frankie Barelli, our buddy, the pizza maker down at headquarters, he's probably sending out some thank you notes because it's apparent. It looks like the Long Island Islanders. It's funny because Brooklyn's technically part of Long Island. New York people hate when you point that out. But they're like, oh, we're going back to Long Island. It's like, Brooklyn. And Queens are actually on the far west end of Long Island.
So the Islanders, I didn't read up. I saw the story. Are they? This is like
this is as close to definite as I've heard of all
who's
these
paying
stories.
For the rink?
I didn't get that part down in the article. I just this is the most certainty I've read about this team actually getting a new arena out by Belmont Park, the horse track on Long Island, closer to the original home. I mean. If it happens, great for the Islanders fans because it's been a. It's funny. Can't say it's been a disaster because they've been outstanding at home this year, for the most part. But it's like
it just
you know,
doesn't seem right.
It sucks for people who, if you know your team moves, you know 50 miles to the west, it doesn't help anybody. And if they can get back to where their fans are, where the players don't have to drive 2 hours each way to fucking practice every day, then good
and
for them.
Like apparently the team will pay for like a black car for you, like. One of the ways, either to the game or home from the game. So I think guys like take the train there and then take the black car home. The team pays for, but like you don't want to be dealing with that. It's nice to shoot over to the rink, like where you play. I think that watching them play, like by the way, I talked about Barzal before the year, correct? Let's just pump my own tires.
You
for a second.
Did, but we've been getting trapped about not mentioning him lately.
That
so this
guy
is
unreal, and I saw it last year in the World Juniors. World Juniors is coming up soon, by the way. One of the best times of the year. I love watching that tournament. So the Islanders are nasty, and they're going back to like where it sounds like they'll be, you know, back home, and they'll have a new rink. So maybe John Tavares stays there. Like, and they're good. Like if they can get a goalie, really, like, I mean, Halak's been good, and like, but he hasn't been good. Like, you know what I mean? It's just not consistent. You can't rely and trust on him. But if they could get a goalie, they're pretty good, and they score. I mean, they score like almost as well as any other team that I can immediately think of. Winnipeg.
Well, that's their problem is the goaltender. I saw the stat. I believe it was Tuesday night. They have the lowest combined goal percentage. Save percentage in the NHL at like .892.
That's a kick in the dick.
That's not good. I know they play run and gun style. They can't score. I mean, they can score not at will, but they can run and gun with you. But you know what? Run and gun doesn't work in the playoffs. They're kind of almost overachieving right now based on what their goaltenders have done. They're gonna need an upgrade in goaltending.
If they got a sick goalie and then like you know Tavares stays, so maybe the Islanders are.
Yeah, well that's the other key is Tavares. I mean, he's gonna have an opportunity to go anywhere he wants, and people are gonna be able to pay him whatever he wants. I think he wants to stay with the Islanders. I think he wants to win there. And you know, going and get, but now you're talking about a new arena, okay? But that you know, they haven't dug a hole for it yet, so it's
that's
at least
what I'm,
a couple
that's why
years.
I'm wondering, like, yeah, this is you're right.
It's a couple
it's
years
at
away.
Least
so
3 years,
it's
say,
still
right?
I would say so. So you're talking
a good point.
Brooklyn another couple of years, and you know, okay, now how far? I mean, that's what 3 more years before we get a new arena, but we're still. Yeah. That far away, but are we going to win in the meantime? Not with Halak and Greece or Grice in the net. So, so congrats on the Isles.
And Josh Bailey, when we say Tavares, you got to bring up him. I mean, for Islanders fans, this guy's lighting it up this year, quietly just goes about and just racks up points playing with Johnny Tavares. So that team's good. I mean, they're fun to watch. By the way, we didn't mention in the Toronto-Carolina game that they had the other day for the 100th anniversary at 2 o'clock on Tuesday.
Oh, my God.
So that was it. Nobody, I didn't, I was like, why is there a Tuesday game at 2 o'clock? But I was on the couch.
They cost me money.
Oh, yes, I get to gamble.
That's a fucking, boy, I was pissed. I looked.
I hammered the Maple Leafs.
I saw Chief tweeted out. And I was like, wait a minute. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Middle of the afternoon, puck, and I'm like, that would have been all over that puck line in Toronto. They fucking dummied Carolina. So it was the final 8-1.
Gambling wise, I need to apologize to everyone. Well, actually, fuck you. Screw you, everyone. I'm not apologizing. I will say though that
Frisky.
I will say that the Winnipeg, when I said hammer them, they did go on to, I think, lose like 2 or 3 in a row right after the podcast last week. But since then, they lost in St. Louis, and then the next night they played them again at home, which is kind of weird. Hey, back-to-back.
Home. Divisional home and home.
No, back-to-back on back-to-back nights in different arenas is not very common, I'd say, in the NHL.
Home and home? They used to be the norm back in the day.
Home and home, maybe, but not like the next day, especially St. Louis to Winnipeg.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Boston and New York and those teams probably do it a little bit more often, but not. I mean, I don't see it that often anymore.
Yeah, it used to be very commonplace, but yeah, you don't see it this like one night after another. You don't see it as much.
And when St. Louis won the game in St. Louis, I was like, boom.
Yeah.
Monday night. I mean, the Jets should at least split with them at home, and they worked them. So stay on the Jets. Just listen to me. Stay on the Jets.
And by the time this show drops, they'll have already played in Boston, and you know, very much was looking forward to that game last night.
Yes.
You know, two teams playing well, and Winnipeg, it's great. I mean, I know we have fun with the Canadian teams, but it's good to have healthy teams in Canada. We just talked about Ottawa not being so healthy, but what they've done in Winnipeg, the accumulation of talent they've had. You've mentioned the top six a bunch of times on the show. They're a fun team to watch, man. And Tuesday night's game in Nashville, did you catch that one?
Yes, I did. Dude, I saw the highlights.
Speaking of gambling, dude, I kept track from Sunday. Every game Sunday, every game Monday, and the first several games Tuesday, there were 15 straight games in which the team covered the puck line. Again, now that's puck line, not alternate or regular puck line. People think the favorite when I say
okay,
that.
Okay, so you're saying one team won by two or more goals.
Exactly, yeah. When I say puck line, that means that I'm not necessarily referring to the favorite because a lot of sites offer the alternate line. I hope yours does because that's
I don't. Yeah, it stinks. Because there's so many times there's underdogs. I'm like, I want to take them right now, minus one and a half, and it's probably plus... Like, 380.
Like Tuesday night, Winnipeg was in Nashville, and someone asked me, do you like them on the money line? I said, you know, that's a good play tonight. And I didn't even look at the puck line, but they had to have been like plus fucking 260 or something like that.
When would it ever be 380 if you were like a plus 170 money line? Or would it never even get plus 380?
When would you be? No, you would be. I would say like if...
So say the Sabres played Thursday night, and then they played in Boston on Friday night, right? They'd be a huge underdog. They'd be probably plus 170, I'd say, no?
Yeah, easily. Yeah.
So then if you went to reverse A&R and had them minus one and a half, that would that get up to plus 380?
If you had Arizona in Chicago, say, you'd get it. Because I've seen plus 400s on the puck line.
Just, let's throw out here. Maybe they blow them
out. That's
right?
What, you know, like last night, Tuesday night with Winnipeg. That's what, you know, I was thinking, like, good squad. Nashville's good, but you're going to get a good return. I don't know if you remember the highlights. It was 4-4 with less than 2 minutes left. Winnipeg scored with like a minute and a half left. They got an empty netter with 2 seconds left. Like
that was to go along with the Crosby. I tweeted it out. The Penguins against the Coyotes, I think it was Saturday night, maybe. It was 2-2 with 15 seconds left, and somehow the Penguins won 4-2. It was like they scored like right at 15 or 14 seconds, and then Crosby, somehow the guy tried dumping, and Crosby like buried it with 2 seconds. Another miracle puck line cover. But that usually never happens.
No.
Water's going to find its level.
Yeah, it's fun. It's part of the game, and I've been like making the joke, you know, worshiping at our Blessed Lady of the Unguided Cage. Like, because every night there's an empty net, and you just need it to happen. You know, Tim Schaller, Boston Buffalo the other night. Tim Schaller, I mean, he just was trying to clear it, clanks it off the board, slowly trickles all the way down, boom, in the net. So, and then, you know, other nights, you know, you got Crosby from fucking half, you know, center ice.
You love this. You'll never get over this.
Never get over that,
then
no.
Then he missed one for you.
But, you know, the worst was last season I lost the... I had a two goal lead and the fucking team gave up a goal 0.1 seconds left in the game to lose it. So, anyways,
and
that's...
quickly, before we bring in the interview.
Yeah.
We just shout out to Vegas. They won.
Oh, man.
They beat Tampa. I will say, we'll go into this in more detail next week, but they're the hot guy at the roulette table right now. People are starting to come over. Some women are starting to come over. People are talking shit.
Blow my dice.
Things end up coming back, you know? Like, yeah. They're good, but this is insane at this point. I'm just shocked by it, and I looked into some stuff and talked to some people that it will end, and they'll come back to who you think they or you thought they were a little bit somewhat soon, I would say.
All right, we're gonna bring an interview now, but real quick, I'll give you a great call about road team struggling in Vegas this year. It was one of your better predictions. So
you just rip it up and get after it.
Now we're gonna bring in President and CEO of the Florida Panthers, Matt Caldwell, and this interview was brought to you by SeatGeek. Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there is a simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event. Whether you're catching your favorite musician on tour, shopping for the perfect gift, or searching for a last-minute deal you see your favorite team, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. Nothing beats being there in person for the biggest plays of the year, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it is by far the easiest way I found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just used SeatGeek to buy tickets for the Bruins last week. I mean, Mikey, I've had some disasters. You know, tickets already scanned. You think you're getting nice seats, and then, you know, you get to the thing, and your ticket's already scanned. That doesn't happen with SeatGeek. Everything's guaranteed. The ticket's 100% legit. No goofballs out in front of the garden. Fake scalpers trying to rip you off. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, my listeners get 20% off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code HOCKEY today. That's promo code HOCKEY for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek, right seat, right now, right from your phone. And now we're very pleased to bring in the Florida Panthers president and CEO, Matthew Caldwell. Matthew, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on.
Do people call you Matthew?
No, most people call me Matt.
All right. We'll go with Matt.
Yeah, Matt's fine. Yeah, Matthew's too formal.
I didn't want to the whole time be Matt. Like, hey, Matthew.
Matty. Yeah, I grew up in Staten Island. Probably similar to Charlestown. I grew up in a bunch of cops, firemen. So they'd all call me Matty growing up.
The little city kid had the almost like hockey. You just kind of make a nickname out of it. Add the Y or the I.
Then it'd be Matter.
Although I'm not sure we had too many cops in Charlestown if you've ever seen the town. But
Thorny brought me there. Sean Thornton's on our business side now. I think he was on with you guys a little while ago, and we went to, in the off season, we went out, we had an opportunity to visit the Patriots, who I'm sure you love, and he's a big fan. And we went there and spent a whole day with their whole staff. It was awesome. And he brought me out to a bunch of your old stomping grounds, old Ironsides. And, I would have been fine staying there, but then he brought me to this monument place. It was like a pizza joint. But it was a good time.
Yeah,
I liked it.
Yeah, some good bars. Actually, I was in the Ironside Grill, the place you just mentioned. I want to say it was 08, and the Cup had been in town with the Wives Carnival. And who comes walking with it over his shoulder in the middle of January? But Thorny, you know, just to show that, because he knows how much of an impact the Cup has on fans, and he took it bar hopping in the middle of the winter. So.
That's awesome.
You mentioned you grew up in Staten Island. Were you a huge hockey fan growing up? And if so, who was your team growing up on Staten Island?
Yeah, huge fan. Unfortunately, it was the Rangers. It's amazing how quickly I dropped that loyalty, though. But, now that I'm with the Panthers, I'm so, all in with the team here. But growing up, going to games with my dad, and I was a big Ranger fan, and it was awesome. And, all the New York teams, Yankees, Giants, Knicks, it was all, growing up in New York, Boston, those towns, like sports is just your whole life, Spent a lot of time in Madison Square Garden.
I was looking up, your bio and everything, and you went to West Point, correct?
Yes.
All right. Yep. So I got to go there for training camp with the Pittsburgh Penguins. It was like 07 or 08. It was unreal. Like, I don't think people realize how beautiful that campus is. But I remember talking to one of the guys at lunch. Are they cadets? Are you guys considered cadets there?
Yes.
Okay. I'm talking to one of the cadets, and they were telling me about how you guys for punishment would get walking hours. Can you explain? Like, I didn't really get the whole story from him. What is that? And he's saying something about the president. Yeah. He's saying to tell the president could pardon these walking hours. Is this true?
Yeah. It's brutal. It's absolutely brutal. Yeah. So you, depending on the infraction, I'll tell you the infraction that I got while I was there. You'll love it. But, you get a certain amount of hours, and they have a whole, rules book on, what infraction, equates to a certain amount of hours. But typically the minimum you get is about five. And
Jesus.
You have to show up on a Saturday. Yeah. You show up on a Saturday afternoon at noon. You show up for an inspection in full uniform, all dressed up. They inspect you, make sure your belt, your shoes, everything shine, everything looks good. You have a rifle in your hand, and you march, probably about 10, 15 feet. Stop, turn back around, march back to where you started, and you do that for 5 hours. brutal. Fucking brutal.
So Saturday mornings, as I'm putting my whipped cream on my Belgian waffle hungover, you were marching with a gun in your hand.
Marching with an M16 over my shoulder. And then you would do 55 minutes on, and then they'd give you like a 5 minute break. And then those 5 minutes felt like it was 30 seconds. It would just fly by, and then you're like, oh, this is brutal, and go right back through it. But, you do five at a time. And so one time, my sophomore year, I'm from Staten Island, so I was locally, a bunch of seniors wanted to go out in the city, and I knew where to go because I grew up in the area. So we had taps, which is, you know, they check your beds at 11:30 at night. And I was in my bed, and after 11:30, I met a couple of the seniors, and I shot down to the city. We went out for the night. Well, they happened to do a reinspection of beds at like 3.
Nope.
So I got busted.
Disaster.
Yeah. So I can't. Yeah, it's a complete disaster. So I got 20 hours for this. So I got, you know, I had to do 5 on a Saturday, 5 on a Sunday, and then the following weekend, the same thing. It was brutal. Those are my 20.
And then could the president, is that true or is that bullshit? Can the president, like when he visits, get rid of all of them?
Yeah. So it's unbelievable. So there's kids that get hundreds of hours. You know, if you, no joke. There's actually a guy that works with us. His name's Tony Maganello. He's a great Italian name. He's one of our owners, like close friends from Brooklyn. And at one point he had the record for like the most hours at West Point. He had like 260, and he had to like march all these hours off. He got caught like drinking like multiple times and got busted, and you said, you know, he just kept doing like the same offense over and over again. So, but when a head of state, so it could be the president of the United States or like a prime minister of England or, you know, some equivalent, you know, person comes to visit West Point to make a speech. Usually we try to get some message to that person. The generals don't like it, but he can relieve all people of hours. You can just wipe them clean. So
they could get votes forever.
The Corps of Cadets. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, exactly. So whoever currently has hours on their plate, you know, they wipe them all out. I mean, it's crazy. Like graduation week, the week before we graduate, there's people marching hours all day long. They're trying to burn off like, you know, the last 50 that they got. It's brutal.
Wow.
It's absolutely brutal.
A little different than my college experience,
yeah.
For sure.
Same here.
Speaking of the military, it's, you know, well known that your owner Vincent Viola was a big military guy, was in the Army as well, and you have several other military guys in the front office now. How do you apply the skills that, you know, you learned in the military? How do you apply those to a pro hockey team, Matt? Like, you know, it seemed like two totally different fields where, you know, you learn probably obviously a ton of stuff in the military, but how do you apply that into, yeah, a front office or on the business side of a hockey team?
Yeah, so on the business side, you know, it's funny. A lot of people have the same, you know, perception that you had, which is like, you know, you would think the military is so different, but you know, when I got out of the Army, I worked on Wall Street, and then after that, I worked with Vinny for a while, then came to the Panthers. And there's a lot of similar, like any like real competitive company, firm, you know, and in our case, you know, the business staff of the team, you know, you want people that are team oriented. You want people that want to put, you know, the organization first before their own interests. So, you know, we just preach a lot of the values that we learned in the Army and you know, all the things you hear in the, you know, hockey locker room and all about working hard and being dedicated and then just always doing anything for a teammate. So, like, for example, one of the first things we did, we came in when we saw the whole layout of our business staff. People were all in cubicles. You had guys in closets. I mean, it was, like, so, like, spread out, and there was, like, no communication, and people just kind of worried about their own lane. So we just knocked down everything we had in our huge like sales floor, and we just made one big open pit of different conference tables and pods of desks and stuff. And we said, listen, there's no privacy, there's no folks sitting in the corner doing their own thing. If you want something from sales, walk over and talk to the person. If you want something from IT, the guy's standing right there. You know, get it done. You know, we don't need to be sending emails and, you know, whoever else to communicate with you folks. So we just try to like really preach an open communication. You know, everybody can, you know, from the lowest totem pole person to the, you know, to the team president can bring ideas to the table and hope to get them executed. And that's how we operated in the Army. You know, I served in Iraq, and, you know, we don't have time to deal with like office politics and deal with any bureaucracies and all. We just try to, you know, throw all that out and apply it to the business world. So I think it's been pretty well received on the business side, and it's gone pretty well.
Matt, actually, I did want to say that before both Rear and I said thank you for your service. We did know you served, so we want to thank you for that.
I appreciate that.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
and my other question is, hockey wise, are you in on any of the hockey decisions? Are you sitting in with you know, the GMs? You ever talking to the coaches, or are you mainly on that business side?
Yeah, I'd say probably, you know, 80% of the job is all, maybe 85% of the job is on the business side, and then like just real high level talks with our GM.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not involved with like the nitty gritty of you know, the like all the, you know, scouting meetings and amateur meetings and drafting and all that. And me and Dale have such a great relationship. We talk every day and he'll update me. You know, I was involved with you know, the whole coaching process this year. Dale ran it, and when he got down to like the final three or four candidates, he brought me in to meet everyone. Ultimately, it's Dale's decision, but we, you know, I just get a, you know, I kind of just give him some of my input, and we go back and forth. And then at the end of the day, you know, I run the whole budget, and that's why I was put in this position. Is to, you know, Vinny was making this big investment, and he trusts me, and I've worked with him for a long time, so. You know, when Dale wants to make a move and maybe we need to go outside the budget that we're at, you know, I try to help him with those conversations and, you know, approach ownership and say, hey, you know, we really need to do this.
Yeah.
So just try to help Dale get over the finish line with things he wants to do on the hockey side.
So you're an important middleman. And are you the guy, if the fellas aren't happy with the hotel on the road, are you the guy catching the heat?
Yeah, I am.
Are you putting them in Holiday Inn Expresses?
I definitely comes up my route, because another thing is when Vinny first bought the team, he also made this major investment in a charter airline in South Florida. I don't know if you guys remember Eastern Airlines.
Yes.
Growing up, but it was a pretty, you know, big name, and like 60s, 70s, 80s, they went bankrupt. And then we found someone that was trying to relaunch the airline as a charter company, not as like one of the major like commercial airlines. So, you know, Vinny made investments, and then we were going to use one of those charter flights, you know, to fly the team around and hopefully save some money. So of course, like, you know, if we took off 3 minutes, you know, after the departure time, everybody was giving me shit, you know, because they knew I was involved with the airline. So yeah, that definitely comes up my route.
No,
so, all good.
In the Miami Fort Lauderdale market, it's known since sports kind of be a little finicky market, I guess. There's, you know, a lot going on.
Yeah.
The weather's there. You know, what's the biggest challenge for the organization to get relevant and stay relevant? I know, you know, you guys had a nice run early after the team got there in 96, and back in 2012,
yeah,
you had another nice run, but it seems like you kind of get this momentum and then it kind of dissipates because, you know, like I said, it's tough to get a foothold in the area. What's the biggest challenge for the organization right now as far as, you know, making a true impact in the Miami area where people are kind of like grab onto this team and hold onto this team?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So two big things. The first is, you know, it's kind of like what I said before. You don't have anyone in South Florida that was born here and grew up here. So before, when you asked me, you know, where I grew up, Staten Island, I grew up a Ranger fan, Yankees and all that. So my like fondest memories of a child is going to a game with my dad and him, you know, sneaking me in. He was a cop in New York City, and, you know,
nice.
He knew the cop at this gate, and, you know, we'd go in, sneak in, and try to, you know, find seats and all. I remember that at 4, 5, 6 years old, and, you know, our market, they don't have that affinity to the team, because I'd say, you know, I've had to quantify it, at least 80% of the people aren't from there. So to build, like, that generational, you know, that generational kind of affinity and close association takes a lot. So what we're doing to combat that is, we're investing a ton in youth hockey. And I got Thornton all over this. Like, we have one rink that we own and then another 6 rinks that we have good relationships with. And we're trying to put a Panther, you know, shield and logo on every single youth hockey player all over South Florida. Because if you get the kid into it at 7 years old, you know, you got 3 fans there. You got his parents or guardians, whoever is going to come to the game. So that's one tough challenge. The second thing is, you kind of referenced it in your question. So, you know, the expansion team came out. They had a great season, their third year. They went to the Stanley Cup. Wayne Huizenga was the owner, and there was so much hype and excitement. But between Wayne Huizenga and then Vinny buying the team in 2013, which was about a 14-year period, they had 4 different ownerships. So you have all those, when you just have all that turnover and so many promises and, you know, so many folks coming in and out and, you know, key draft picks that they couldn't sign long-term because of, you know, money issues. The fan base, which was already small to begin with, has just been told so many, you know, so many lies, so many promises that haven't been delivered, you know. So you just have this, like, you know, you know, once bitten, twice, you know, 10 times shy kind of, you know, attitude in the market. And then when Vinny came in, there was so much excitement about him because, you know, he brings a lot of money. He's very accomplished. It was a reminder of the good old days with Wayne Huizenga. And we got off to a great start here in the second season. We went to the playoffs. We had our best season ever. And that hype really built up again. And we saw it. I mean, the second half of that season, we had 16,000-17,000 people easy, like every game, you know. So we're big believers in if we build it, they will come. And, you know, and nowadays you got to win anywhere. You know, I mean, I know New York's and Boston's and Montreal's are a little different, but, you know, even those markets get pretty impatient with you, especially the millennials, right? You know, the millennials are going to bounce and do something else if they have the opportunity.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you got to be good. If you have a good team, a really good team, they're going to come. I can picture Thordy now with the younger kids. He's probably got them in like batting cages, taking balls off their chest, like Happy Gilmore, toughening them up. I can see it now. But listen, I know Vincent Viola just a little bit from my time with the Panthers when he was the owner. I was actually in the minors, but he came down, met with everyone, and you can tell right from meeting him. I mean, this is a driven, successful, competitive guy. You know, he has a serious tone to him. So this year, you know, the team hasn't played as well as I think they hope. Are you noticing that he'll be salty after a loss? Is he in a different mood after a win? How does that go?
That's a great question. You know, early on, he's so competitive. He would get really, really emotional and pissed off and salty, like you said. And you know, realize this is his first time being an owner, you know, majority owner. He had a minority stake in the New Jersey Nets at the time before they moved to Brooklyn. But this is the first time of him, you know, fully owning a team and being the main guy. And you know, he's the most competitive person I know. And you know, he's got a very, very high standard of excellence. So I think early on, he was getting frustrating and kind of being emotional game to game. But, you know, we learned a lot, you know, after that big season, you know, that big season, we lost in the first round. And, you know, he got really upset with some things. We made a few changes that didn't work well. And, you know, we quickly corrected them. And then, you know, this year what I'm noticing, and it's really been inspiring to see, is he's probably the most positive and laid back that I've ever seen him, because he's very confident in Dale. He's very confident what I'm doing on the business side. He knows we got great youth. We got Barkov and Trocheck and Huberto and Ekblad, all these stars signed to long-term deals. And then we got a great coach that we brought in. So, you know, we're getting him to be a lot more long-term focused, and he's shown us that, you know, about a third of the way through the season so far. So it's been great to watch, you know, him believing in the process.
Right, and right now I'd say it'd be a great time for you and the Tampa Bay, your squad and Tampa Bay Lightning. It would be perfect to get a really good rivalry going. I mean, you guys have been across the state for over 20 years now, but hopefully you guys can meet in the playoffs, because that's where rivalries can really, really take hold. But because you guys have such a stacked team, like you just mentioned, guys like Huberto and Barkov, and you know, Tampa's doing what they're doing, and you know, you guys can ever meet in a playoff round, and I think it could truly be one of the great, you know, rivalries in hockey, because you know, regionally, it would just help the interest so much. But now we got one more question for you. Have you guys made Thornton a four-star general in the office yet, or what?
Yeah, I'm the four-star. I'm going to give him 2 stars. He's going to earn his stripes, you know? But I tell you, he's been great, guys. Like, I'd be the first one to want to rip on him. Like, I've been so impressed how hard he's working and how interested he is. And, you know, for a 22-year-old kid out of college, you know, sitting there banging out cold calls, when Sean Thornton walks up to him and, like, wants to learn about his clients and how he can help and let's go to a meeting together, you know, it's inspiring for, you know, these college kids that we hire on our sales floor. So he's jumped right in. He's been awesome. And then I kind of use him as an enforcer too. Like, you know, if I get like a couple of departments that aren't talking to each other, if sales and marketing aren't getting along, I just send authority. I'm like, go get these guys in the room and tell them stop, you know, bullshit. You know, and they talk to each other after that.
That's awesome. So, that's awesome. Well, listen, Matt, we really appreciate it. And when you mention the young guys too, it's people don't even know about Bjorkstrom at Denver. He's going to be a stud. Yeah. So it's I think this year, I know it hasn't gone as you'd hope so far, but I think that the team's got a lot to build on, and we really appreciate you coming on.
Okay, thanks for the time, guys. This is awesome. Appreciate
anytime.
It.
That interview was also brought to you by DraftKings. Hockey season is in full swing, but it's not too late to get in on the action with one-day fantasy hockey at DraftKings.com. Tonight, you can play free with your first deposit for over $5,000 in total prizes. With DraftKings, there are many ways to play. Choose between public contests with big cash prizes or private contests where you can face off with a group of your friends. DraftKings also has beginner and casual contests where you'll play against people of similar skill level. All you have to do is pick your team and start racking up points for goals, assists, shots, and more. The best part, you get to draft a new team each day. I'd be all over those Tampa Bay Lightning if I were you. Not a big deal, kind of obvious. The only thing better, winning cash to do it. There's no better way to put your hockey knowledge to the test than with DraftKings. So hurry to DraftKings.com/Barstool to sign up and play free with your first deposit for your share of over $5,000 in total prizes. That link again is DraftKings.com/Barstool to play for free with your first deposit. Only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Once again, a big thanks to Matt Caldwell for joining us. It was nice to get, you know, like I said, a different side of an organization on here. We obviously have a lot of players and media guys, so it was interesting to get a different perspective. And
yeah, that was. I'd love to be able to say I'm a CEO. That's a pretty power move.
Pretty big thing.
Like if you're talking to someone, you're a CEO.
Plus,
even if it's some pigeon company, you're still the CEO.
Plus, as a guy who talks a little funny, I love to hear when people still are able to maintain their accents from their region and still be very successful.
Did he have a Staten Island accent?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I'm sure it was a lot strong. I'm sure he's probably had to temper it down a little bit. But yeah, he had a very strong, strong New York accent. So again, thanks a lot to Matt Caldwell for joining us. And now it's time for our weekly segment in which we take
all right,
questions from listeners.
We got any good ones?
All right, Hamilton.
We got some decent ones, boys.
Okay.
So John Chiazin asks, all right, Hamilton, what was your favorite team Christmas party memory?
All right, Hamilton.
Oh.
Shit, I was
in honor of the holidays, of course.
We had an awesome one at Mark Recchi's house in Pittsburgh. Everyone got after it. And there's a picture of me. I might be with like Colby Armstrong and his wife. And then like behind the picture, like totally not photobombing it on purpose, but is Mario Lemieux. So I have that. So I always look through that one. I'm like, oh man, I was loaded in that picture and Mario was in the back of it. So that was a good one. I'm trying to think of other ones.
Now, does every team have a Christmas party every year?
Yeah, pretty much.
At some point,
I mean, even if it has to be, you look in the schedule, it could be December 2nd, right? But, I mean,
yeah,
you just got to get one in. Edmonton, Joey Moss comes around. Do you guys know who Joey Moss is?
Is he the...
we've discussed one of the fans.
He's a fan, right?
Joey Moss is, like, over 30 years, equipment manager of the Oilers. He's got, I don't know if it's Down syndrome or whatever. He's
developmental disabilities or whatever.
He's the man. Right. Listen, like I got traded to Edmonton and I walk in and like you've always heard Joey Moss because he got the job because Wayne Gretzky dated his sister like when he was like a rookie or something and brought Joey in and he never left. So he's
nice.
Like the best. But I got in there and Joey like, you know, I'd heard about him and then like people are like sitting around the table eating breakfast, shitting on him. They're like, shut up, Joe, you dumb fuck. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, what the hell? And then he just starts dying laughing, giving it back to guys. He's like, fuck you, Whitney. So it's just, he's the man. So he would come to the parties in Edmonton. He'd come to every party, but Christmas parties would be awesome. He'd have his Christmas gear on and just give Joey shit the whole time. So those are good ones. But it's always fun. I mean, team parties are so good in the NHL because you get like everyone around. I mean, like how many times do you really get around everyone beside, like away from the arena, you know, guys go out to dinner, different groups and stuff like that. So it's always fun to get the trainers, you know, out with you. They're drinking and everyone's having a good time.
But yeah, not only everyone together, but everyone together. Shit, yeah,
everyone together getting and after. Then, when yeah,
that's
what is the tag from happen. Like real world when things stop getting fake and start getting real?
Yeah.
So, like a real man's, a sober man's thoughts or a drunk man's words. Is that it?
Yeah. Soberness conceals, drunkenness reveals, or something. Sometimes people just
I try to be honest when I'm all the time.
Yeah, me too. That's why when people say that, it's like, sometimes people just drunk assholes. Like they're not revealing anything, they're just drunk and being an idiot. So.
All right, what else?
All right, boys. So Mike DeFonzio asks, dark horse team to make the playoffs / make some noise.
All right, Hamilton.
All right, who you got?
Dark horse team to make some playoffs. It's funny.
Some playoffs.
Like we always talk about, like, we it's tough to call it dark horse now because the playoff chase starts so early. I think we're so cognizant of who needs to get in. shit, man. I know Carolina was the fancy pick to make a little while ago. You can't even say Vegas anymore. They're at the fucking top of the Western Conference as of Wednesday. Shit, man. I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't. Looking
you
here,
you got like 32 teams to choose from.
I know, but I'm saying it's tough to say that a team is a dark. I mean, Pittsburgh's not in the playoffs right now. You can't call them a dark horse. They're the defending cup champions.
I understand.
And honestly, I don't know that any of these teams that are not in the playoffs right now might even get in the playoffs. I'd have a hard time calling any of them a dark horse. Fuck it. You know what? I don't think they're going to make it, but if Vancouver ever got in the playoffs, that would be the biggest surprise.
Yeah, that would be their dark horse. Colorado, same thing. I like Calgary. I mean, I don't know if they're a dark horse, but Calgary's pretty solid. Like, they have an awesome D. Gaudreau and Monahan are so filthy together. Monahan doesn't really get enough credit. I think Gaudreau kind of deserves more so. I think he's more of a playmaker. But Monahan's awesome. That guy's a sniper. So that's a team that, like, I could see them hopping in and making some noise. But, yeah it is. I will give you credit that there aren't, like, many dark horses,
right?
Because
Calgary's a playoff team last year.
Well, I look at a team like the Devils. Like, I know they're a top their division.
Devils are here
to
stay. I said this like 10 games in or 12 games in. They're awesome. And the reason that they're so well, besides the rookies that they're getting surprises from and a lot of help from, but Schneider and Net he's so good that it's like, all right, well, nothing's gonna end where they got a shit goalie and he's gonna start sucking. Like, they're good on that side of the puck.
We'd be remiss if we didn't mention Adam Henrique's nasty. I mean, how often does a guy who you get traded for put him on a fucking highlight reel like that? And your goalie and your old goalie.
It wasn't even like it would have been so much better off for Vatanen had it been like in Anaheim.
Right,
You know what I mean? Like, yes, he played there, but more so like the fans that lost this guy. I didn't realize how much of a fan favorite. They call him Rico.
Rico,
He's a big time
Rico.
I mean, by the way, you think about it, for a guy that you don't hear a ton about. Scored the clincher against the Panthers the year they went to the Cup.
Yeah,
triple overtime, I think, Game 7. Scored the clincher against the Rangers to go to the Cup that year in the East Conference Finals. So he did have a couple, you know, big moments for the Devils. But he might as well have taken his cup off and grabbed his whatever and slapped Vatanen in the face as he skated by him. And then not only did Grinnelli, you said it, he burnt him with this amazing flip. He then, like, instead of, like, keeping it on his forehand, goes backhand shelf with this, like, awesome finish move with Vatanen and, like, drag, like, kind of hanging all over him. So that was probably goal of the year right now.
Yeah, I mean,
no question.
Yeah, especially not just obviously the move itself, but then you had the whole context of the trade.
You're like, Sammy, see you later.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
My dick taste.
Yeah. That was dirty. And I guess like the Devils, like his old teammates were like blowing him kisses or something. I didn't see the actual video. I read that. I'm but that's when you know it's a nasty go when your former teammates are even fucking
the flip to himself is like, what are the chances that actually lands perfectly flat and doesn't kick like, you know, towards the corner and like is just there for you perfectly? So that was a highly skilled play.
Yeah.
That was like Grinnelli in street hockey.
Eggish.
Should I think of an all right Hamilton right now? What's your worst and or best Christmas gift?
Dude, that's, you know what? Well, we actually did more pregame shit than we thought. I wrote that down. Yeah, we could have had a little Christmas stuff. My worst Christmas present.
It's tough to remember worst.
It's tough to worst. My best one, honestly, dude, it wasn't even something I asked for.
Bobby or socks.
No. Dude, Atari 2600. This was the original like video game. The first Atari. Dude, I didn't
How old were you at this point?
I was 6 or 7. Now,
really?
I didn't even hear. This was either 78 or 79. I didn't even know what Atari was. Never heard of it. My stepfather, he's been gone for a while. He was an early adapter. Him and my
uncle was a gamer.
Not really a gamer. Just a technology. They call them early adapters. They're people who like basically he had a VCR in the late 70s.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, you know they cost VCRs when they came out in the late
70s. They were 500, right?
They were like $700 in the fucking 70s, dude. That's so expensive. So he always had like the new tech shit like before other people. So we get up Christmas morning, like I said. Never even heard of it. And I was like, what's this? And all of a sudden, dude, you know, an hour later, I'm playing fucking Combat in my living room. And it was the greatest thing ever.
What were the games for Atari? Like Snake?
Atari, they gave you Combat. It was like basically you were in a tank and you fought the other guy in a tank. Or you were like, there was one with like planes. It was like war scenarios. Okay. But, you know, with that 8-bit resolution. Oh, those graphics, but they were like that old school, like Pong style.
What was Atari's most famous game?
I would say
Pong.
Pac-Man, but it was so bad. Okay. Like it was the first version of Pac-Man that came out. It was awful by like today's standards, but after there was the Atari 2600. Then a few years later, they came out with the Atari 5200.
Oh, the 5200. That brought the noise.
That was like legit Pac-Man. It looked the graphics were like ground brawl at the time. So definitely, I would say my Atari, which I didn't even ask for, didn't even know, was probably up there. And then, you know, any Star Wars toys that came. Worst present? I don't know. Socks, I guess.
Yeah,
underwear.
What was the Unreal... I'm racking my brain now. What was the Unreal Nintendo game? Tantra? No, like...
Tetris?
No. With the guys running around, the two animal guys. It was Contra? Contra?
Contra was one of them. Double Dragon was another
one.
Contra
was sick. My best gift was... that's tough. I had some good ones. But I think at the peak of like my hockey nerd factory level, I was probably like 11... Is that 94? I got a T-Flex. You remember the T-Flex? Mm-hmm. And then like it could only... Oh, no. Sorry. It wasn't T-Flex. That was years later. I got the Ultralight. The Ultralight stick was the best stick. And then you got like the Bauer insert blade that had like the hooks on it. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It'd tape over. And I had the Linden curve. The Linden curve was the bomb, the boss curve. And I remember like... I think my dad hit it, so I opened up everything else. I'm like, I didn't get the ultralight. Like, just some fucking whiny kid. Like, in my head, I would never say aloud. I got slapped. And then he's like, hey, you check behind the thing. Like, almost Ralphie with the
Christmas story.
Yeah, he's like, hey, check behind the thing. And that's where the ultralight was. So then I just was just cranking it to that stick the rest of Christmas Day.
That's what my grandmother did to me. She hid a Synergy grip. Remember the yellow Synergy grips?
Yes.
She hid one up under the couch, and she told me to run upstairs and check under the couch.
Grandmother got you that.
Grandmother. Well, my dad.
So that's
dad,
like ask my son what his son wants.
Exactly.
Okay. I understand.
Dude, one year I just thought my brother was a fucking older brother menace growing up, like wicked menace. So like he would like I would get in trouble half the time just being
wicked
around
menace.
Him. And he knew, you know, he's a couple years. Oh, spoiler alert if you still believe in Santa Claus listening. But he knew, you know, he was creeping around the house looking for gifts like before Christmas just because he was a menace.
Yeah,
like he couldn't wait.
I did
now
that.
I was still in that like believe. Not believe line, and he like point them out. He's like, look, and it was like they were like Star Wars toys. So, and then my mother found out he was creeping. She made me like tell what I saw, like, and then she like threatened to bring it back. And I'm like, motherfucker, I didn't do nothing. Like this asshole dragged me down there. I'm gonna lose my fucking Jawa Tatooine set because of this dick.
I remember actually going in and starting to look for gifts and like lift. I figured out where they were. This old nasty brown thing in the basement, but it was locked up, and you could lift up the corners. And then I went and got the flashlight, and I'm going in. I'm like, I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want that. And then, like, I'd go to my mom and I'd be like, hey, I definitely don't want, like, this. Like, thinking you're, like, not going to get what she's like, you saw the present.
You snitched
like,
yourself.
I thought I'm so smooth to just randomly be like, hey, I don't want anything Star Wars.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, so that was, I mean, it's funny now, like, Christmas, Thanksgiving's the best holiday, but Christmas is still, like, Christmas Eve is the best. You just get crushed, and now there's football. It's a Sunday this year.
Oh, wow.
I have the time of my life. I just can't wait.
It's an exciting time in the Whitney household. I know the little guy, you know, he's still new here, and he doesn't grasp concepts
cool.
such as, like, calendars of Christmas yet, but
or humans,
yeah, humans or any of that, or going on the toilet because you're white. Because
I'm wiping his cornhole every minute.
But it must be an exciting time for you, though, right? You know,
yeah,
you had a new
awesome.
Family, and you know, your parents must be very excited. Her parents,
yeah,
and,
it'll be great. Christmas Eve at her house, like 40 people, so that'll be like my time to shine because I won't, you know, people will hold them the whole time. I won't even see them really.
Yeah.
And then Christmas Day, you know, I'll probably be like a little hungover.
I'll bet.
You know, I'm just laying on the couch with them. But you know, it's a great time of year. You're right. It's very special. And my brother's home. My bro's home from San Francisco. So
nice. Yeah. Obviously, I was saying the wife's been very busy. Didn't even haven't got to a Christmas tree yet. Not sure that's gonna happen.
Yeah, it's Festivus here at the RA
household. It's definitely a little Festivus. Yeah, yeah. She's gonna.
We're about to air our grievances post podcast.
But yeah, listen, man. I don't know. I just do the family shit. I mean, you get older, and when you don't have kids, it's like you realize Christmas is definitely more of a kid's.
Oh yeah,
definitely a kid's day. But it's good to see family, catch up on them, go stuff your face, maybe fucking Tylenol and all that shit. But
what are you doing, Granelli?
I go to my family's, my aunt's house.
Will you get after it?
Oh, we get so many.
You guys, like, the whole family's getting after it? Like, music's pumping?
Yeah, so I wear this like, onesie every year.
Oh,
too. It's really? It was my mom's, and she didn't want to wear it one year. So I was like, fuck it, I'll wear it. So now I just wear it every year.
So now you rock that thing.
Yep.
Is there feet on it? Like a footie?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's like
so your mother's onesie fits you.
No. Well, so she got it for herself. And instantly was like, I don't want to wear this. We're doing an ugly sweater party. Like, this thing sucks. I'm like, fuck it. I'll wear it.
That's mine now.
I'll rock the hell out of it.
That's gold.
Yeah, not bad.
Now, one other Christmas thing. I mean, someone might have asked us a few weeks ago, but the three things I need to watch, you know, before Christmas, you know, in order: Bad Santa, Christmas Vacation, A Christmas Story. I like the three mandatory.
Definitely.
Those are the three. Bad Santa's so good.
It is.
He is such a scumbag. It's unreal.
It is. How they take a holiday movie, make it so, like, profane, but also, like, fucking hilarious.
And who's the amazing uncle in National Lampoon's?
Uncle Eddie.
Cousin Eddie, yeah.
Cousin Eddie.
Randy Quaid.
That guy is unreal. I love that movie. And yeah, Christmas Story, that's the one that just plays all day.
Yeah, they started it like actually right mid 12 o'clock Christmas Day when it starts in the air for 24 hours. I know people, like, you know, bellyache about it. It's old because, you know, it came out years ago. But, dude, when it came out in 1983, it was still set in the 40s. It's not
I remember, like, being old enough to be like, that's kind of a hot leg on that lamp. Like, that's when I knew I was, like, growing up a little bit.
Oh, it's good, too. If you were a fan of The Mother and The Christmas Story, you can just go put on Slap Show and see your boobies, because it's Suzanne.
Hand.
Yeah, yep. She's her nice 70s banana titties. Oh, on that note.
She's a lesbian, I know.
This week's All Right Hamilton is brought to you by Fuego Box. Everyone's done all the standard gift items, clothes, cologne, a nice bottle of liquor, done. We've got something different and much better than any of those this holiday season. Fuego Box has put together a bunch of hot sauce gift holiday boxes at all price points for this promo with us. They're giving you $10 off and a limited edition Barstool koozie to keep your drink cold. Don't forget, everyone's favorite gifts are the ones they buy for themselves. So all you have to do is go to fuegobox.com/barstool and you'll see all of the gift options to choose from. The discount code and free koozie edition will automatically be applied. That's fuegobox.com/barstool. fuegobox.com/barstool. Hot sauce and cold beer. Sounds like the perfect holiday season.
But actually, to everyone, a serious note, we're done, right, with All Right Hamiltons. Thank you to the listeners. I hope you guys have a Merry Christmas and a happy holiday. So we're going to be back next week with a special World Junior guest.
Yes, absolutely.
Member of the United States World Junior Team. They won the gold medal last year, for all you Canadian listeners. Suck on that one. So that'll be a good one next week, so you will not miss us, but I hope you have a very Merry Christmas.
Yeah, I want to echo what Ryan said. Thanks to our fans, our listeners who've been listening for a long time, whether you just joined us. I know people kind of seem to discover us weekly. We appreciate everybody out there. Thanks for tuning in. Have a Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah, a Kwesi Kwanzaa, a Tip Top Tep, and a Solomon Dignified Ramadan.
Kwanzaa? Africa?
Yeah. If you watch the local media, you would think that a lot of black Americans celebrate it. But I had a few jobs over the years where I had a lot of black coworkers, and I didn't hear the word Kwanzaa once during holiday
season.
Can
you not say Merry Christmas to people? Is that like...
No, I think that Happy Holidays things gets blown out of proportion. I think when people say
what you celebrate, that means what you celebrate.
It's all encompassing. Like, sometimes it's not that, you might not celebrate Merry Christmas and I'm going to offend you. No, because, I mean, all my Jewish friends, they never get offended, say Merry Christmas.
They get 12 days of it.
It's just like when you say it, instead of saying, hey, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year and whatever else you may do, you just say Happy Holidays. It's just like an all encompassing thing. It's not it's never been a politically correct thing. It's just been like, this is going to cover six or seven things because you might celebrate something else.
Okay,
you can still say Merry
Happy
Christmas.
Happy Holidays to everyone.
So Merry Christmas,
including you, Kwanzaa,
to everybody. And
Kwanzaa.
It is a fucking, we do get the day off. It is a federal holiday. So it's not like, we're putting something on you. It's the country gets the day off of Christmas. So Merry Christmas.
With that,
happy fucking New Year. Sorry,
right, just got his blood pressure.
Yeah, you know how
we'll
it happens.
See you guys later,
everybody. Have a great one, Grinnelli. Thanks for everything, buddy.
Peace out.